Moncrief on News Talk.
Time to look at stories from other parts of the world where other things are happening. Jonathan de Burka Butler is our guide as usual. Good afternoon, Jonathan.
Sean, how are you getting on?
Now, I did actually refer to this story right at the top of the show. This is the one about the 10-year-old who went to bring his father to court in China.
Yeah, he a 10-year-old boy. This was in Zhengzhou in Henan province, which is in the east of the country. And it's not something that happens very often. Remember years ago, it must have been the 80s and early 90s, there was a spate of children bringing their parents to court in the United States of America.
Yes.
Where there's always these precedents, but not so much in China. In fact, it's usually the other way around, that parents are bringing children to court for not showing up and visiting them because there's a law against that. But anyway, I digress. This 10-year-old boy in China, he went to court because, as you might have mentioned, his father took money off him, specifically 80,000 yuan, which is about 10 grand.
Okay.
This was what's called red envelope money or Lunar New Year money, right? So Lunar New Year, basically people give money to young people and elderly people, and it's supposed to bring them good luck. Okay.
Okay. So it's like confirmation in China.
Yeah, a little bit like that. Yeah, yeah. But I think it happens on a kind of an annual basis. I'm not sure if it happens when you're a certain age. Or
10 grand is, not to be sneezed at.
Yeah. He's accumulated quite a bit. Now, his father in this case was divorced from his mother and they lived separately and the son was living with the father.
Yeah.
And then the father decided to get married again.
Yeah.
But he was a little bit short on cash. So he decided to raid the son's piggy bank. And paid for the wedding with that 10 grand. Now, when he got married again, the son decided he wanted to go back and live with his mum. And his mum said, great, okay, that's fine. And I'll obviously look after your deposit book for you. And the son said, well, I don't really have that anymore. So when the mother went after the father looking for it, he admitted that he had used it all. But he said that he was going to pay it back to the child when he turned 18. So the mother and the son decided to take the father to court. And the court has decided that this man is in the wrong and he has to pay up. The court has ruled that monetary gifts given to minors constituted personal property once transferred under China's civil code, and parents and legal guardians are not entitled to spend it unless it's for the betterment of the child. So they can do in circumstances if they're sending them to private school or, you know, if they're short of food or whatever it might be, but not for things like weddings.
Yeah. And in China, legally, is a parent entitled to control a child's bank account, even if they're not, abusing it in any way?
Well, as I mentioned there, I suppose they can use it for things that benefit the child, so education and that kind of thing. So there must be an element of control.
But your mum's argument was like new mammy. Surely that benefits the child.
Well, perhaps. perhaps. But anyway, he didn't get away with it. He had various arguments. He said, look, the gift money had been given by his relatives and friends. So you wouldn't have got it unless you knew me, that kind of argument. But he didn't get away with it.
Yeah, right. Okay, Senegal we're going to go to next. Now, this is a trend, unfortunately, in parts of Africa that Jonathan has told us about before. These are tougher penalties on members of the LGBTQ community.
Yeah, so this is Senegal's Prime Minister, Ousmane Sonko. He's been in power since 2024, late 2024, I think. And one of the things that he campaigned on was criminalising LGBT behaviour, shall we call it, or as he calls it, acts against nature, right? Now, these so-called acts against nature are already banned in Senegal, okay? But the top prison sentence for it, you could go to prison for between 1 and 5 years. But now he's proposing the doubling of those sentences, so between 5 and 10 years. And I love this as well. In this new bill, he's added a clause in where he says if an act is committed with a minor, it will attract maximum penalty. So this old trick of conflating homosexuality with paedophilia is still alive and well in certain parts of the world. So he brought it to cabinet last week. It's been approved there and he's bringing it to parliament now. It will pass through parliament because his party holds the majority there, so it won't have any difficulty. There are human rights groups there and advocacy groups there, but I mean, they're not strong enough to be able to withstand a challenge like this. So this will pass.
Yeah.
And as you say, it's something that's happening in the region quite a bit. Burkina Faso brought in legislation to ban homosexual acts in 2024, I think it was. Mali the year before that. And of course, Uganda is famous for the legislation that it brings in against homosexual acts.
Yeah. Do all those countries border each other? Is there, if you like, a clump of conservatism in the centre of the continent?
Yeah, they're fairly close to each other, all right. Yeah. And there would be a fairly decent, certainly in Senegal, you'd have to classify them as being relatively conservative, all right.
Yeah.
But it seems to be spreading, all right. It's going backwards.
Yeah, and is there political hay to be made from this? It was already illegal. There were already prison sentences, yeah. So why make them more severe?
There is political hay because, I mean, he promised it, obviously. I mean, yeah. I mean, there's some people who see this as kind of the West, like they see homosexuality as the westernization of their culture. They see it as a Western import, and they don't like it. You know what? So there is, to answer your question firmly, there is.
Okay, well, that's it. Yeah, it's seen as kind of, actually, that's a view from many parts of the world outside the so-called Western world. Right, South Africa, just travel a bit south from Senegal. A 14-year-old has been caught in the crossfire of taxi wars. What's going on there?
Yeah, this is bizarre. So the headline here is that police in South Africa are investigating fatal shootings at a secondary school in Cape Town that have killed a 14-year-old girl who was a student in this secondary school and a taxi driver, 42-year-old taxi driver, who had apparently been targeted before. Now, at this stage in the investigation, they don't know if it was a gunman or gunmen, but they are fairly sure that it is targeted. So these taxi wars, they've actually been going on for years, right? And the crux of it really started in 1987 with deregulation, right? And it meant that there was taxis flooding the market and everybody was literally fighting for the best routes and the best spots. And it's got so bad that, in fact, the people who are investigating this, the detectives that are investigating this crime, come from the Taxi Violence Investigations Unit.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? They have a specific unit to look at this. Shouldn't be laughing, but it's ridiculous, really.
Yeah.
So in this instance, he was waiting outside the school to pick somebody up. It was a minibus, we think, of sorts. Waiting outside to pick up some people, and somebody opened fire as kids were coming out from the school. I think two other students were caught in the crossfire as well, another adult as well. But unfortunately, this 14-year-old girl was found dead inside the actual school.
Yeah. And is it completely deregulated? As in, anyone can just say, I'm a taxi driver?
Well, I think so, but it's from what I've seen, it's kind of run like a mafia style. There's taxi associations, and you become part of that, and then they fight each other for turf.
Yeah,
and of course, it's now all complicated with modern technology because, like everywhere else, they've got these e-hailing apps.
Yeah,
so they're coming into the market now, and they're allowing their, they're complicating matters that are already complicated.
They have Uber in South Africa.
They do, yeah.
Crikey. Well, you think maybe I Don't Have a Gun might be a kind of a, marketing edge some of them might use. Right, Papua New Guinea, we're going to go to next. And this story involves a confrontation between inmates and guards in a prison.
Yeah, so this happened in Bomana Prison in Port Moresby, which is the capital. And it started off very simply. As you know, in prisons, the guards will often go in and they take out inmates and they'll say, okay, we're going to search your beds or whatever. Okay, what do they call it? Flip the room or whatever. Yeah. And in this case, it happened on last Monday. 62 men who were being held on remand were asked to vacate their cells, and specifically they were looking for contraband. They were looking specifically for mobile phones, okay, that these prisoners shouldn't have had. And when they took them out, they went in and they went through their stuff, and the inmates who were affected by this have now claimed that they started stealing things and they started destroying court documents and various, important things like that, and personal items. And when they objected, The police officers or the prison officers got a little bit violent with them, to such a point that they decided to actually pause the attack and call in some reserves to go back in and continue the attack, right? So
yeah.
With the result that 62 of these men, or the vast majority of them, were beaten up, and 9 of them have ended up in a hospital, and 2 of them are critical at the moment. They're in Port Moresby General Hospital at the moment. Now, the prison officers, for their part, have confirmed that the event happened, right? So there's no denying it. But they say that it was the fault of the prisoners, of course, that they started it. And that indeed some of them tried to get past the guards and tried to escape. Now, Papua New Guinea wouldn't be any stranger to prison breaks, to be honest with you.
Okay.
So it has happened before. But I have to say, the reaction from the general public, and I think most importantly, there's one telling reaction, that of the Prime Minister, James Marape, who said an investigation was needed. And he said that even in prison, human rights must be respected, and those responsible for managing detainees must act within the law. So he seems to be, you know, tipping to the side of the inmates and listening to their complaints about this. But as it stands, these 9 inmates are in hospital, and as I said, 2 of them are critical.
And what are conditions in general in prisons in PNG, and overcrowding and those kind of issues? Are they there?
Absolutely appalling, right? So PNG, and I don't mean to insult anybody from the country here, but it's a basket case. And it really is, there's massive backlogs in the court system. I mean, you've got 62 people on remand.
Mm.
So these are waiting
yeah.
to go on trial, really. And the crime rate is huge. I mean, it's Port Moresby regularly ranks in the top 5 or 6 most dangerous cities in the world. And then you factor in, okay, so you think to yourself, right, okay, well, the cities are dangerous and the countryside must be grand. But it's not, because of all the ethnic divides and all of these, you know, groups that are hidden. There's like 860 different languages, and there's constantly ethnic violence going on between these groups, never mind mines being attacked and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it is in a fairly critical state when it comes to crime, it has to be said.
Yeah. Someone says, Sinead, to say those taxi wars are mostly between, this is in South Africa now, the minibus drivers. Uber is a great service out there. Just back from 10 days in Cape Town and used Uber. Great drivers, polite and friendly. So that might be a tip if you're visiting there. And June says, in relation to those anti-LGBT laws in Africa, very wealthy Christian evangelicals from America have gone to extreme lengths to influence these horrific laws. They are akin to a bigotry virus, she says.
And 100%.
Yeah, so this isn't necessarily related to Islam then?
Well, in Senegal it would be.
Yeah.
In the sense that Senegal is majority
yeah.
Muslim, all right. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Finally, we're going to go to the UK, where the police there have copped on to a trick many people might be using right now if you're working from home.
Well, I'll let you start. Okay, grand. Okay, this is a woman by the name of Sergeant X. She's been called, right?
Good name.
So her anonymity has been held up. So what has she done? It's very basic, really. She has been dismissed for holding down keys on her laptop with a picture frame while she was pretending to work from home. So this is in Avon and Somerset police officer. She has been dismissed now without notice at a gross misconduct hearing on Wednesday in Portishead near Bristol, as I'm sure you know, which is where the band name comes from, of course.
Yeah.
And they found her because back in 2024, they noted that her keystrokes were significantly high on her keyboard, right? And they launched an investigation in June of 2024. But the hearing seemed to hear a lot about shifts that she worked in April and May of 2025, which showed that her keystrokes were between 3 and 8 times higher than those of her colleagues. Now, she finally admitted that what she was doing was holding down a picture frame and pretending that she was working from home, while at the same time monitoring calls, because she was having problems in her personal life, and this is why she couldn't concentrate on her work. But according to the chair of the misconduct panel, that wasn't enough, and so she has been dismissed, and she will not be allowed to work for any police or security services public security services, you'd have to imagine, in the UK.
Okay, interesting that they didn't like get onto all the other people working from home and say, why aren't you working as hard as Sergeant X? Like, she's on her keyboard the whole time.
Non-stop, yeah.
Right, so what should we keep an eye out for over the next week or so?
Right, well, bar the obvious, which is things going on in the Middle East, a lot of people might have missed what's going on in Pakistan and Afghanistan.
Yeah, and this is completely unrelated to what's going on in the Middle East.
So
the
Taliban and the Pakistani government have been at each other for a number of years. The Pakistani government have had it enough, so they launched airstrikes there, is it about 10 days ago now at this stage? And that's, you know, that's keeping on going, that's boiling over at the moment. So that's something that needs to be watched. Then Thursday, there's parliamentary elections in Nepal. And then on a better note, a more positive note, Friday, March the 6th, the Winter Paralympic Games open.
Thanks a million, Jonathan.
Thanks,
as ever, Jonathan DeBurka Butler there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2. On News Talk. Conversation that counts.